Tonight, President Trump backs down, reversing his policy that separated migrant children from their parents.
We're going to keep the families together. I didn't like the sight or the feeling of families being separated.
An uncharacteristic retreat under intense national pressure. But what now? How will so many families torn far apart be reunited? A massive flood emergency over a foot of rain triggers raging flash floods, trapping people in their homes and cars. First responders overwhelmed. A heart-stopping rescue at the racetrack, a crash at nearly 100 miles an hour, a father rushing to pull his son from an inferno. A cardinal accused, once one of the most powerful figures in the American Catholic Church, tonight suspended after an allegation of abuse. And a dramatic kidnapping escape caught on camera, a jogger grabbed in broad daylight.
This is not how my story ends. I am not going to let this happen.
Tonight, how she fought back and broke free from the clutches of her attacker.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and welcome to our viewers in the West. In a rare political retreat, President Trump today ordered an end to the policy of separating migrant families who enter the country illegally. Exercising a power he claimed only a few days ago that he didn't have, the president signed an executive order that he says will maintain zero tolerance at the border while allowing families to remain together. The about-face came as the president was feeling increasingly isolated over the policy, including within his own party. But already tonight, there is confusion over what happens now. Let's start our coverage with NBC's Kristen Welker.
We're signing an executive order.
Tonight, under a mountain of pressure, a stunning reversal by the president with the stroke of a pen, after saying for days only Congress could do it.
It's about keeping families together, while at the same time, being sure that we have a very powerful, very strong border.
The executive order keeps parents and children together while the adults await immigration hearings and instructs the military to build new facilities to house those families. The plan doesn't end the president's zero tolerance policy, which requires everyone who crosses the border illegally to face prosecution.
Do you think you're backing down?
No, the border is just as tough. But we do want to keep families together.
But acknowledging the dilemma.
If you're really, really pathetically weak, the country's going to be overrun with millions of people. And if you're strong, then you don't have any heart. That's a tough dilemma.
Still, it is an undeniable shift after the president and his top officials argued for days.
Now, wait. You can't do it through an executive order.
Congress and the courts created this problem, and Congress alone can fix it.
The president was under fire politically and personally.
Those images affect everybody.
With his daughter Ivanka Trump and the First Lady expressing concerns over the images of children in private conversations, sources familiar with the matter tell NBC News.
Ivanka feels very strongly. My wife feels very strongly about it. I feel very strongly about it. I think anybody with a heart would feel very strongly about it. We don't like to see families separated.
The personal appeals capping days of political turmoil. On Sunday, images surfaced of kids in cage-like structures. By Monday, the world heard the horrifying sounds. Children crying, just separated from their families. Tuesday, the president tweeting a warning against an infestation of illegal immigrants.
When you prosecute the parents for coming in illegally, which should happen, you have to take the children away.
The bipartisan calls grew louder on Capitol Hill.
Well, the White House could change it in 5 minutes, and they should.
We know the depths this administration will go to now to push their hateful agenda.
Allies slammed the president.
The pictures of children being held in what appear to be cages are deeply disturbing. This is wrong.
The Pope labeling it immoral, adding fuel to the fire. Overnight, protesters heckled the Department of Homeland Security secretary, the public face of the zero tolerance policy, while she dined at a Mexican restaurant.
Shame!
Now, the hard part. Congress still wrestling with a long-term solution on immigration and what to do with all those children.
Late tonight, a spokesperson for Health and Human Services tells NBC News the agency hasn't received any new orders for how to handle the roughly 2,300 children who are currently detained and separated from their parents. The bottom line, there are no current plans to reunite those kids with their parents who may be awaiting court hearings. Tomorrow, Congress will consider two immigration bills. Lester.
Kristen Welker at the White House starting us off. Thank you. And while there is significant support for the president's reversal, there's also skepticism tonight. Near the border, some advocates arguing that reuniting these families is much easier said than done. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez is in South Texas with the unanswered questions.
Enough is enough.
After protests erupted around the country,
we will not be silent and we're ready to fight.
The president's executive order today left border towns with a central question. What now?
What we're seeing right now is a self-created humanitarian crisis by the federal government.
Migrant children have already been sent to at least 17 states. Blanca Orantes-Lopez, who crossed into the U.S. illegally, sits in a federal prison near Seattle, while her 8-year-old son is in a children's home in upstate New York. The goodbye was agonizing. He just started crying, and he looked at me and said, "Don't leave me, Mom," she says. More than 200 migrant children have arrived in New York State alone.
A number of kids have come with lice, have come with bed bugs, come with chicken pox.
Others have been flown to Michigan and California, a complex web involving multiple government agencies. Critics say untangling it will be a logistical nightmare. Those charged with illegal entry into the U.S. are given a flyer showing them steps on how to locate their child. But Jody Goodwin, an attorney who works with migrants, says the process will be difficult.
Because the children don't have the capacity to even maybe tell them their parents' full name. So being able to identify the parents through the children is something that's impossible.
Donna Abbott works in Michigan caring for 81 children separated from their parents at the border.
We're seeing somewhere between 2 weeks to a month for us to make contact with a parent and begin to set up contact with the child.
Cameras have not been allowed inside so-called tender age shelters like this one in Brownsville, Texas. But advocates say the facilities house crying toddlers. In all, more than 2,300 kids have been separated from their parents since a zero-tolerance policy was announced last month. Some housed in this tent city in Tornillo, Texas. According to an official with the Department of Health and Human Services, those tents cost $775 per person per night, almost three times the price to house them in more permanent shelters with their families. Tonight at this shelter in Texas, families are huddled together as their immigration cases are decided, now hoping they'll at least stay together while they wait. A former congressman who toured another facility, this so-called tender age shelter, says some children, even toddlers, have been separated from their relatives. Tonight, there is a huge amount of uncertainty about how those youngest children will be reunited with their family members. Lester.
All right, Gabe, thank you. Despite the executive order, there is a catch having to do with how long children can be held in the federal detention centers with their parents. Jacob Soboroff has been looking into that and joins us from McAllen, Texas tonight. Jacob, good evening.
Lester, good evening to you. Frankly, we do not know how long these families will be detained together. What we do know is that children that were held alone in facilities like this will now be housed with their parents. Historically, the length of those family detentions could be up to 20 days long. We expect that to be challenged in court. And when that happens, those detentions could stretch on for months on end, if not indefinitely, pending the outcome of immigration proceedings. One other thing we don't know tonight is where those detentions will take place. More unanswered questions tonight, Lester.
All right. And Jacob, thank you. And a program note that Jacob will have much more on the immigration crisis on a special Dateline this Sunday. And as that battle plays out on the border, there is also a flood emergency plaguing parts of South Texas. The coast is inundated with water following torrential rains, breaking records in some places and leaving people trapped. NBC's Kerry Sanders reports tonight from South Texas.
More than a foot of rain triggering flash floods, submerging vast areas along Interstate 2 from McAllen to Mercedes, Texas.
Yes, we woke up, it was around 3 in the morning, and we saw outside and everything was flooding, everything.
85-year-old Francisca Ramirez, a longtime resident of Weslaco, says she's never seen it like this.
Just raining, raining, it keep on coming, and I'm scared.
All right, guys.
Well, you're in good hands now. You're in good hands now. You're rescued.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Overwhelmed first responders.
We got other people to take out as well.
Getting a helping hand from volunteers. These good Samaritans taking Ricardo Rangel, who can't walk, to high ground. In some cases, the water's so deep, military trucks had to back up to find a different route out. Juanita Gomez asleep as the floodwaters quietly began to rise.
When I woke this morning at 8 o'clock, I stepped in the water.
You stepped right out of your bed into water?
Yeah.
Motorists stalled in deep water, breaking out glass when electric windows stopped working, roads giving out, creating sinkholes in McAllen. Because a flood like this here is so rare, most homeowners say they have no flood insurance. Experts say the long-term drought and the sun-baked soil compounded the impact of the flood.
And this misery will likely continue. Forecasters say the threat of more flash floods will continue through the night. Lester?
All right, Kerry Sanders, thank you. Now to that cardinal accused. He was once the most powerful, one of the most powerful voices in the American Catholic Church. The former Archbishop of Washington, now the first U.S. cardinal suspended by the Vatican after an allegation of sexual abuse on a minor. It's another sad turn in the sex abuse scandal that has plagued the church. We get more from NBC's Ann Thompson.
The world is in crisis.
Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, tonight suspended from his public priestly duties after an allegation he abused a teenager in New York 47 years ago, was found to be credible and substantiated. McCarrick would go on to lead Archdiocese in Newark and Washington. New York's Cardinal Timothy Dolan oversaw the investigation.
Do families in those archdioceses have a reason to be worried?
I don't think so. We have absolutely no evidence that there was any other impropriety with a minor.
However, the Newark Archdiocese revealed today there were two settlements of sexual misconduct by McCarrick with adults decades ago.
This case raises more questions than it answers. How long has the Catholic Church known that Cardinal McCarrick was involved with sexual misconduct?
In a statement today, McCarrick, now retired, maintained his innocence, saying he has absolutely no recollection of this reported abuse, but apologized for the pain his accuser has gone through. As Archbishop of Washington, McCarrick counseled presidents and popes and talked about the priest's sex abuse scandal on Meet the Press.
Do you believe there's a special place in hell for men who represent Christ on earth and abuse their flock?
There is certainly a special, terrible judgment on someone who would abuse the trust that a priest must have, that a priest does have.
A judgment now facing this prince of the church. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
Kim Jong-un was once again on the world stage today, wrapping up a two-day visit to China. After last week's summit with President Trump, the North Korean dictator met with China's leader. Meanwhile, North Korea is reportedly expected to return the remains of up to 200 American service members from the Korean War, something President Trump requested at last week's summit. Now to a dramatic rescue caught on camera in Virginia. A burning car in the middle of a racetrack as hundreds watched from the stands. The car exploded into flames. The driver's father then jumped onto the track to save his son. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer has their story.
Mike Jones was behind the wheel of car 39 on Virginia's South Boston Speedway when he spun out of control. After smashing into the wall at nearly 100 miles an hour, the stock car burst into flames.
It's a driver's worst nightmare for sure. Once I saw the flames, it was just get out as quick as I could.
Just seconds after coming to a stop, Dean Jones says he did what any dad would do.
I just had a single focus. Get my son out of that burning car. Nothing else mattered.
Jumping the pit wall, running to his son's burning car and pulling him from the wreckage as flames exploded around them.
When I saw the flames, nothing was going to stop me from getting to his car.
The father and son duo have always shared a lifelong love of racing. Dean Jones is Mike's pit crew chief, the dad making this save on Father's Day weekend.
The feeling that I felt when I pulled him out of the car was just a sense of relief that my son was alive. It's really kind of hard to put in words.
Tonight, Mike Jones is ready to get back in the driver's seat, knowing Dad is just a pit stop away. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
What a heart-stopping moment that was. Still ahead tonight, it could have been a brutal attack on a woman out for a jog. How she was able to fight off her attacker. Also, the deadly crash and fire on a well-known bridge near Washington and the rescue of workers who became trapped.
Oscar Mayer Deli Fresh Ham has no added nitrates. Nitrates are artificial preservatives. Now, Deli Fresh flavor is for everyone, like those who like
sweet,
those who prefer heat, and those who just love meat. For those in school, out of school, and old school. Yeah! those who like their sandwich with pop, and those who like it with soda. For the star of the scene and the guys behind it. Oscar Mayer Deli Fresh, a fresh way to deli.
Sweet.
If these packs have the same number of bladder leak pads, I bet you think bigger is better. Actually, it's bulkier. Always Discreet quickly turns liquid to gel for drier protection that's a lot less bulky. Always Discreet.
You hit it down the highway when the guy in front slams on his brakes out of nowhere. You do too, but not in time. Hey, no big deal. You got a good record, and Liberty Mutual won't hold a grudge by raising your rates over one mistake. You hear that, Karen? Liberty Mutual doesn't hold grudges. How mature of them.
For drivers with accident forgiveness, Liberty Mutual won't raise their rates because of their first accident. Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
This is a sell. So are all these. They work together doing important stuff, like keeping your vital organs running and whatnot. The hitch? Like you, your cells get hungry. Feed them with Centrum Micronutrients, designed to nourish and revitalize you at the cellular level, restoring your awesome on the daily. Centrum, feed your cells.
They've reported from around the world, challenged the powerful, and they bring all of this to every story that breaks.
Why aren't you going inside?
And touches your heart.
How do you even say thank you?
Thank you is not big enough.
A simple traffic jam sent them off the interstate.
Mrs. Girls, this is a bad idea.
It was a very wrong turn.
He's never been the same since.
Dateline, Friday, 10, 9 Central. Don't watch alone.
We're back with a stunning story of personal courage shown by a woman in Massachusetts who was out for a jog when she suddenly found herself under attack. Incredibly, she was able to fight the suspect off, all of it captured on camera. And tonight she's speaking out. NBC's Blake McCoy has more.
Tonight, a Massachusetts jogger attacked in broad daylight, now sharing her story, asking us to conceal her identity.
I just kind of remember, like, this is not how my story ends. This is not, I am not going to let this happen.
Watch as a man stops his car in front of her, gets out, and begins groping her, pulling her arms, an attempted abduction.
I knew, of all the things, the most important thing was not to allow him to get me into that vehicle.
In that moment, this jogger became a fighter, kicking and screaming, fending off her attacker. She praises an elderly neighbor who rushed to help.
What was he going to do? He probably didn't know what he was going to do, but he was going to figure it out.
As the attacker took off, she then had the presence of mind to take a photo of his license plate.
That good information right at the scene was instrumental.
The suspect, 57-year-old Gordon Lyons, a convicted rapist, hiding behind a sheet during his hospital arraignment, pleading not guilty to kidnapping and assault charges.
There was one person that tried to hurt me, and that there are so many people that day and subsequent days that have tried to help me.
This victim determined to be anything but. Blake McCoy, NBC News.
We'll take a short break. Coming up, it's just the second country in the world to legalize marijuana for recreational use. We'll tell you where. Also, the brand new stamps being unveiled and why they may add a whole new dimension to your mail. A scary scene this morning on a busy bridge over the Potomac River connecting Virginia to D.C. and Maryland. Explosions, fire, and thick smoke on the Woodrow Wilson Bridge as a tractor-trailer slammed into highway maintenance trucks, a tanker and three other vehicles engulfed in flames. Underneath the bridge, three highway workers were left hanging over the river. They were stranded in a bucket at the end of a boom. Police boats had to come to their rescue. Recreational weed will soon be legal to the north of us. Canada's Senate cleared the way today in a historic vote, making Canada the first advanced industrialized nation to legalize marijuana nationwide. It goes into effect October 17th. And it's a first for the U.S. Postal Service, which today rolled out a collection of scratch and sniff stamps. Just in time for summer, the theme is frozen treats. There are 10 different stamp designs, each with two icy pops on a stick. They were created by an artist in Santa Monica, California, giving ordinary postage something extra. When we come back, those who serve, the doctor who found a way to continue his mission despite the biggest challenge of his life. Finally, tonight we meet a young man who dedicated his life to medicine, healing others in the midst of their greatest emergencies, until one day he faced his own catastrophe, a tragic turnabout that gifted him with a new outlook towards his work and his patients. His story tonight in Those Who Serve. It was the final ride of a mountain biking trip when emergency room physician Daniel Grossman came face to face with the one trauma he wasn't prepared for.
I went up a little hill. That's the only thing I remember.
The next thing he knew, he was on the ground.
I could see he wasn't getting up. He wasn't moving.
Chopper to the nearest hospital, he got a look at his own scan. It was catastrophic. One of his vertebrae was shattered, causing irreparable damage to his spinal cord. He knew he would never walk again.
It was devastating to hear that. Literally 1 second to the next, life is turned upside down.
But here's the thing about Daniel. He's not the type of guy to let a wheelchair stop him in his tracks. He pushed himself, learned to live independently, and in just 6 months went back to work in the Mayo Clinic ER.
Hi there. I'm Dr. Grossman, one of the supervising doctors today.
Daniel says being in a wheelchair makes him a better doctor.
I'm 6'5". I used to tower above patients, and I would often forget to sit down. Now I have no choice. I have to sit. I have to hold their hand.
Hello there.
Howdy.
That connection to his patients inspiring him to push forward with his own life.
I'm smiling all the time because I could have been dead, and instead I get to practice medicine. I get to influence the lives of others, and it's an incredible feeling.
Putting life into perspective. At the end of our broadcast tomorrow night, our spotlight on Jurassic Park and the amazing technological advances since its debut 25 years ago. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.